Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Following On podcast. I'm John Norman. Steve Harmison alongside me, looking back at another hard-fought day in Gore. England taking on Sri Lanka, Joe Root and Jimmy Anderson, England's two big figures on day two, with a word from Mark Wood. I'm sure he'll get a mention as well. You're listening to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. Well, if you're listening by now, you probably know England ended day two 98 for two. They were 5 for 2. But mirroring Sri Lanka's innings, losing early wickets and then rebuilding, thanks to their best batsman. And that is without doubt Joe Root. 66 overnight, you know, 67 overnight today. 66 overnight, went on to score a big century in the first Test match. Will he do the same thing here in the second? England need him to, because they're still way behind. 3-8-1 all out Sri Lanka. Nirushan Dickweller coming within 8 of what would have been a deserved and maiden Test century, just falling short. 6 wickets for Jimmy Anderson, the old campaigner. George De Bell on Crick Info pointing out he's got a better record in Asia than Kapil Dev. Unbelievable. Either way, let's get on and talk to a man who knows a little bit about bowling fast. It's Steve Harmison. You're listening to Following On. This is Story of the Day.
Story of the Day.
Well, the story of the day for me, Harmy, is once again England reliant on their best players. I suppose that's to be expected in all professional sport. But first up, Jimmy Anderson. At one point, I thought he might get his Test best. He had a 6 for 2 wickets in the offing. He's only ever taken 7 in an innings. That wasn't to be. Really good stuff from Mark Wood in support. And then when they needed a little bit of obduracy, they got it. But they got it from Johnny Bairstow. What they got from Joe Root was brilliance. I mean, he was batting well in the first Test, but even better today. And it means at the end of day two, I'd say the story of the day is that Sri Lanka just about ahead, but even Stevens.
Yeah, I think Sri Lanka are just about ahead because they've got, you know, runs on the board. And like we mentioned yesterday on the Following On podcast, you know, I probably was a little bit more, I was expecting pitch to do a little bit more about just after tea, but it hasn't. It's held up quite well. So that's a good omen for England. 283 runs behind. Their best player, Joe Root, would love to have kept batting for another 4 hours because I think on this sort of surface, in them climate, in them conditions, very difficult to start on. So England are so reliant on their captain. They need him to come out tomorrow morning and get off to a good start, i.e. keep his wicket. Not about getting runs tomorrow morning. It's about keeping his wicket, him and Johnny Bairstow. So, and again, I think even the commentators have now weighed in with the conundrum of Bairstow not going to India for the first two Test matches, which we've been saying, I'm sick of saying now, is ludicrous what's been going on with Johnny. But when you're talking about stories of the day, the oldest guy ever to take 5 wickets in Asia, Jimmy Anderson, better average in Asia than the great Kapil Dev, tells you how good this guy is, how good this guy's been, and how reliant England still are on him. There was a lovely debate in the middle of the morning. It was I'd been up for a while. I might have been just nodding off, and then I heard Nasser wanting to talk to Keezy, but you know, wanting to talk to Keezy rather than Atherton because of obviously the intelligent difference between the two of them on whether Broad and Anderson should be playing together overseas, and you know, as well as the batting conundrum of how Crawley and Sibney have played actually out in front of their front pad and more front on than Root has been sort of side on and letting the ball come to him. But I will counter that a little bit because one of the greatest players I've ever seen play cricket for England, Kevin Peterson, he played out in front of himself. He played, you know, more front on. And it didn't do him, you know, it stood him in good stead throughout his career down and out in Asia. So for me, the story of the day was Anderson. Was Root expected that your big players stand up? And England have still got a long way to go in this test match. But I thought that Root was brilliant standing up to the way Embaldinia bowled, because again, I think Sri Lanka have found a superstar there, because he's a serious, seriously talented boy.
Yeah, plenty to go at today. You make mention of Sky. There was a very interesting chat. If we can move things on away from the brilliance of Root and Anderson to the problem with the spinners. We could talk about the opening partnerships as well. Rory Burns is coming back, of course. Does Crawley pop down to three? But as you say, I mean, Bairstow in the form that he's shown, although I'd say he was slightly fortunate not to be given out leg before, would look a better bet than what we've got at the moment. But still possibly have a fourth inning. So we will we'll have to wait and see. But the discussion on Sky, one of the many, many discussions was about whether England go with one spinner. Because, of course, all 10 wickets in Sri Lanka's innings went the way of Seam. And, of course, they bring on their Embaldinia, the spinner, slow left armer, and he takes two wickets in a blink of an eye. And, you know, are England going to go in and maybe they'll change tack? Maybe they will go in with Broad and Anderson because, of course, it's not just about taking wickets, is it? It's about containing. And if the spinners aren't taking wickets or containing, then why are you playing them? Just because they bowl slow?
Yeah, and I think that is a good argument. And I think there is an argument for the likes of Broad and Anderson playing together. We've seen Stewart in the first test match. He bowled 17 overs, 11 maidens. Jimmy in this test match bowled 13 maidens. You know, more maidens than anybody else. All the rest of them put together. So there is an argument for that. As much as I'm a fast bowler myself, and I'd like to see Broad and Anderson be rewarded because of, again, they've answered questions that people have been thrown at them. Questions that, to be fair, people questioning somebody who's got 500 test wickets and 600 test wickets is beyond me. So, but I can understand that playing them out on flat surfaces, 80-odd mile an hour, they're ability to hold one end up is one thing, but can they do it in India against the likes of Rohit Sharma, Shubman Gill, you know, Virat Kohli, etc., is yet to be seen. So there's that counter argument on that. The spin department, it just looks as though it's not just threadbare, it's thoughtless a little bit, because I was looking at Jack Leach and Don Best at some points this morning thinking, I know they're in the infancy of their career, but they haven't really got a plan here. They've got no idea really how they're trying to work their batsmen out. Matthews played quite comfortably yesterday. Dick Weller played very, very well today. And if he didn't get, he's never getting a test 100 after what happened today, to be fair. But it just looked as though it was a little bit thoughtless. You know, we're hoping to get a batsman out as opposed to, right, we'll dry one end of the end of the ground up. I'll bowl a lot fuller into the rough or into the, you know, the foothold marks there. Cut one side of the ground off and see if we can stay in the, you know, and sit in and say, right, if I don't get any wickets, I'm going to stop them from scoring runs. And then let's see a little bit of chess, you know, cat and mouse, a little bit of chess, who's going to break first. And hopefully, normally the bowler does. I didn't see any of that, and I didn't see any of my imagination. I felt sorry for Joe Root, and as much as anybody wants to have a go at Joe Root about his field positions and stuff like that, very difficult for a captain to set a field to two spinners who are bowling at least one bad ball and over, and they're bowling milk balls and over. And what I mean by milk balls is short and wide outside off stump where you can just crash it to extra cover on the boundary, or you can bowl it really, really full, you know, not into the footholds, and you can get pushed down the ground for one. Not really. That's difficult for a captain to set a field to. So there's a lot of work in the spin department. I still think the troubles that England have got at 1, 2, and 3 by the fourth test in India, if things don't go well, we could see Mohan Ali playing as an opening batsman because of the way England's batting unit is. And I still think Mohan Ali is probably our best spinner. in that environment because he's our one day spinner, most containing spinner. If they want a spinner to take wickets, they've got two leg spinners out there. Both of them are miles away, I think, from playing test match cricket in young Mason Crane and Matt Parkinson. But if they want somebody to take a wicket, a wrist spinner might be a better option than the two finger spinners. But we're having a go at two guys here who are trying their best. They're trying to work through their careers. So I'll give them a little bit of a slack, see what happens in the fourth innings. But when it comes down to the crunch and the nitty gritty of getting to India first test match, I don't see signs of improvement in the second innings of this test match. If I was Joe Root, I'd go to my comfort blanket and say, right, I probably need Broughton Anderson in my team, which means I only play one spinner. And if I do play one spinner, it's going to be the experienced one. I'm going back to Moeen Ali. And he gives me more depth of my batting, which gives me a chance to play both Broughton Anderson, Archer, and obviously I've got Ben Stokes.
I'd struggle with Moeen Ali, to be honest with you. I just don't know. He is at his very best. He takes wickets. He, of course, really came to prominence, didn't he, in 2014 in the home series against India. Took a bagload of wickets. But the Moeen Ali that we think of is a bit like David Warner. Remember me asking a question to Jared about bringing back David Warner? And, you know, it's not that David Warner anymore. And it's not that Moeen Ali anymore.
Absolutely.
But England's cupboard is bare. And it's a real shame that Ali, for obvious reasons, for his own health, as much as anything, contracted COVID because he would have played in this series.
But if you're looking at that, though, John, you're looking at two bowlers who have had a lot of overs under the belt going into this test match. Yes, it didn't turn as much as what it did in the first test match at goal, but they bowled 140 overs without taking a wicket between them. You know, took Embledinia got a wicket in, I think, 5.2 overs, and then 7.4 overs, he got his second wicket. Now, you know, that is, there's an extreme you have to look at here. And sometimes you might just have to go back to experience, even though it isn't. I agree, totally agree. It is like the Warner argument. It is not the same Moeen Ali that we had 5 years ago, but his experience possibly could stand us in better stead than two novice, naive spin bowlers who have struggled and toiled on a first innings pitch in the subcontinent and bowled 140 wicketless overs.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Moment of the day.
Difficult to look away from Jimmy Anderson with his fifer. 30th fifer. He was saying how he felt a bit nervous coming into this match because, of course, he was replacing Stuart Broad. And we've seen what that's done to people like Mark Wood, for instance, and Sam Curran, two bowlers that have had to replace Stuart Broad, and hasn't gone particularly well. A little bit unfair maybe to say, but you get the point I'm making. If even Jimmy Anderson's worried about it, you can understand what pressure that would have been, especially, you know, Sam Curran back in Barbados first test, and then Mark Wood's first test against West Indies at home. So Jimmy Anderson comes in and, well, he takes six wickets. The fifth of which, superb catch from Jack Leach. I don't think he got enough credit for that. But I mean, that was certainly one of my moments of the day, probably be one of the moments of the series.
Yeah, I think it was. I think it was. It's also, you listen to the way Broad, Anderson, Root have spoken. I've spoken to this about this a couple of days ago on the podcast about how they're wanting and trying to improve. The message they're sending to the rest of the dressing room is, I'm wanting to improve. You know, Jimmy Anderson, 600 odd wickets, saying he's nervous going into it. And I would imagine Jimmy's thinking every time he goes into the, you know, when the toss is made and he's named in the team, this could be my last test match. You know, that's the obvious, got to be in his, it's an obvious thought in his mind, because a poor test match, an injury is the end of, is arguably, not a poor test match, but an injury is the end of Jimmy's career now, because it'll be a long way to come back from that, especially in the COVID environment and not having any other cricket to go to. So, yeah, I'm sure Jimmy's enjoying himself. He looked as though he's having a good time, apart from the two times at mid-on in the field, and he's, you know, missed the run-out chance that he'd kicking the dirt. But now, for me, I can't say there's words have been used hundreds and thousands and millions of times on how good Jimmy Anderson is as a person, as a cricketer, as a role model. And I think, again, he's just and the bar's high anyway, just elevated that little bit further. You know, when people are questioning him, oldest person to get five for, better average than Kapil Dev, this guy is the best. He's the best that has ever been for me in a seamed up bowling department. And he's putting himself at levels where I don't think in another 100 years he will ever be caught.
Any other moments of the day?
I think the way Mark Wood bowled, I think was encouraging signs. Joe Root, his ability to go and put a fire out again, England 20, yeah, he's consistently seeing, I know there were 5 for 2, but he consistently looks up the scoreboard and sees England 20 for two going, putting fires out, argument for him to go to 3, all this stuff didn't really faze him, went out there, front and back movement, the way he sort of went down the ground, swept very, very well, just put adversity behind him and moved it to one side. Right, the captaincy's out the window at this minute in time, I'm Joe Root the batsman, I'm going to get as many runs for my team as possible. That was a positive moment as he was getting through the teens and into the 20s, and you're thinking, right, he's in now. And Bairstow, exactly the same. And again, the argument on TV, talking about if you had two plane tickets, Sibley, Crawley or Bairstow. For me, the first person should have been Bairstow. Something's wrong with Johnny. I don't know what it is. Something in that environment is wrong with Johnny, because they do not want him in there. I've said this countless times on TalkSport over the course of the last 18 months. Somebody doesn't want Johnny Bairstow in and around that team. And I don't know what's happening. We don't know what goes on behind, you know, in the four walls, but to see Bairstow come out in that moment of adversity again under pressure, he's stood up and delivered. And if he gets over that first 10, 20 balls tomorrow morning, all of a sudden, the England selectors could have egg on the face, sending Johnny Bairstow home, first and foremost, sending Mark Wood home, having gotten 4 wickets in this first innings, and going to India with a team that, when you're thinking, you know, 2 of your best performers in the last test match aren't there. So, again, there's a lot of question marks on England, but, you know, Joe Root was magnificent again.
Yeah, you mentioned KP earlier and the similarity between his style of batting and Crawley and Sibley, but for me, the comparison is more between, because they showed a KP innings during the lunch break from back in the day, and it was just brilliant to watch. You just remember how amazing he was as a batsman, and it was the intent, wasn't it? He just put the pressure back on the bowler, and that is exactly what Joe Root did today. Is what he did in the first test. And in fairness to Crawley, that is how he normally plays as well.
Mm. So, I actually thought Crawley got a good ball.
Yeah, I do as well. I'm not sure there was a huge amount he could have done with that dismissal. But obviously, he hasn't had as much experience playing in these conditions. And once you start getting out to the same bowler, people like us are going to talk about it, aren't we? But that is kind of the point of being interested in professional sport.
LOL of the day.
LOL of the day. It wasn't particularly funny, but the differences between watching world TV pictures or watching at home. Towards the end of the day, did you see Joe Root? I think he was a bit ill on the field.
Yeah.
And to protect his modesty, because he seemed like he'd had a bit of a stomach upset, he put a towel over essentially draped over his head so he could conduct his business on the field. But if that had happened in the UK, and it wouldn't have done, because I imagine the problem is the heat and the humidity. Maybe something he's eaten, I don't know. The cameras would have panned away onto someone wearing a stupid outfit in the crowd, and he could have just got on with his business. But no, it was World TV, so they went ultra zoom motion in on the action.
Seen the whole lot.
And let the Sky commentators try and talk about anything but.
Yeah, it was, again, like you say, there's no crowd there, so they've got nothing to pan to. I think you can't emphasize how difficult it is to play in these conditions. He's just fielded for being a field. Well, he's been on a pitch for 2 days now. 140 overs of it, he's had to conduct an orchestra and then go and put his pads on straight away, not get much fuel inside him, probably thinking at lunchtime, who am I going to bowl? Who am I going to, tea time, not having to get anything at him. So for 2 days now, he's, depending on what he's had the night before, but, the fuel intake is probably not there as much as what others would have been. So, that does have a huge impact on the body, which makes his 67 not out even better. His concentration skills and his ability to, So, yes, it was there was another lull for me in such a way which wasn't like a funny moment, but it was typical, possibly TV and media wanting to try and make comparisons. There was a comparison between Joe Root's foot movement and his stance from 2019 to 2020-21. And that was 2019 facing Pat Cummins. And his stance was a lot wider. And this time he's a little bit sort of feet closed together and a little bit more crouched. And I can't believe I was throwing things at the telly, shouting and screaming things at the telly, not knowing what the world feed were commentating on. But I'm like, hold on. Pat Cummins is the best bowler in the world, bowling 90 odd mile an hour, and I'm showing socks and all sorts of things. This is Lakmal, who's bowling 78 mile an hour on a pitch which is not bouncing above shin high. I just, like, when you watch TV sometimes and you wonder why some of the players get hit up and cheesed off with some of the comments and the commentators. And this is what, for me, this is what's wrong with the social media sports 24/7 sports world is that you can compare anything with anything and make it look the way you want it. Unfortunately, this, they got it a million mile wrong. And that was something I was wetting myself at. I was thinking, this is a bouncy wicket I think it was at Headingley. Ball's bouncing, and it was bouncing waist high, 90-odd mile an hour against the best bowler in the world to face in Lakmal on a 78 mile an hour, slow, heap in goal. And no wonder he's crouched. That doesn't tell you anything about his technique. It tells you the guy's thinking about how he gets the best use of the way he's going to try and score runs out of his own body. So I couldn't stop laughing at it. I really couldn't. To be fair to Sky picked up on it. NASA had a go at it as well. But God knows what the world feed were talking about.
Well, we can ask Butch when we see him, eh?
Yeah. Well, fingers crossed it wasn't Butch that was actually talking about it.
What is going to happen tomorrow?
So what's going to happen on day three then, Harmy? Day three will probably... Well, actually, no, I won't say that, because very often the old adage is not a lot happens for 3 or 4 days and then everything starts to happen. Russell Arnold saying that this pitch will start to turn after lunch on day three. So England just need to make sure that they're only one or two down from where they are now. If they're still 150 away and they've got 7 wickets down and then the ball's ragging everywhere, then, things can start happening in a hurry.
Yeah, I think it's so important, mentioned in this chat, about how important it is Joe and Johnny Besto get through and get over that initial burst from Embaldinha tomorrow morning. And then as the ball gets softer, cashing in. Because we've seen in goal in the first test match, yes, there's turn. And Russell Arnold's right. It is going to turn after lunchtime, between sort of lunch and tea tomorrow. But it's slow turn. And I think it's turn at this minute in time that's not really too dangerous to a world-class top-order batsman. So by the time you get to sort of day four, day five, when it starts spitting, then it becomes dangerous. And that's where England need to be parallel with Sri Lanka. So from an England point of view, they have to be still, another one down by lunch would be England still in the game. And like you say, England somehow need to be within 10 runs short or 10 runs past Sri Lanka to stand any chance in this test match, because batting last on this surface, when it starts to turn quicker and it starts to spit, is where England will not want to have to chase too much. So massive, massive onus on the captain to get in tomorrow. And if he goes on and gets a big three-figure score, England have got a chance in this game, because I don't think the spinners can bowl as badly or as ineffectively as they did in the first innings. And if they learn from their mistakes and they're under pressure of what's coming up in India, fingers crossed Best and Leach come out with a little bit of a spring in the step. So massively on England to try and get some sort of parity with Sri Lanka's 381.
Brilliant stuff. Army, we'll chat after day three. You've been listening to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. Download, subscribe to the show on Acast, Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We will be back after day three in the second test match between Sri Lanka and England. Thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.